The two lords, Nitai Gaudachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. My dear brother, I request you, just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without motive. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. But Lochandas regrets that I am entrapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Tomorrow our yatra continues in Calcutta. How many will be attending Calcutta? Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in Calcutta. The biographers of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Murari Gupta, Lochandas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, they tell how Lord Chaitanya appeared here in Navadvipa Dham with many of his eternal associates from this spiritual world. He also sent his devotees to appear in so many other places. Srihatta, Chattagaon, Trihuta, Ekachakra. Srila Prabhupada appeared in Calcutta. That's where he performed his little Ratha Yatras, just near the Radha Govinda temple with his friends. Just a little child begging, "Father, please, please, I want to have Ratha Yatra." He wanted a chariot. And somehow his father met one man and saw how little Abhay was so eager to have this Ratha Yatra. This man actually had a chariot, a small one, and gave it to Prabhupada, gave it to Abhay. And he decorated it with his friends. They put Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and they had full Ratha Yatra, chanting, dancing, distribution of prasad, wonderful darshan.
It was later in Calcutta that Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj at Uttadonga Junction Road. It was the first Gaudiya Math outside of the Chaitanya Math in Mayapur. And that's where he was given that instruction at the first moment of his meeting with his Guru Maharaj. While he was still bowing down, he heard the words, "You are intelligent young man. You should take this message of Lord Chaitanya." And teach it in the English language all over the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had left his body in Calcutta. When his Guru Maharaj was living in Puri and Srila Prabhupada was living in Mumbai, he wrote a letter. "I'm a grihastha. You have so many brahmacharis, sannyasis who are serving your mission. How can I best serve you?" He got a message back saying the same thing. To teach Lord Chaitanya's message in English throughout the world. Soon after that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from this mortal world at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada prepared himself. He lived in Jhansi, he lived in Vrindavan. He traveled so many places for preaching. And eventually in Mumbai, he got that free passage on a cargo ship. By Krishna's arrangement, it was leaving from Calcutta. That's where he really began that great historical journey to the West. And after Srila Prabhupada established our movement, his second temple, after a little storefront, 22nd Avenue in New York City, Manhattan, very small storefront. And it was very run down, in a very bad neighborhood. But Srila Prabhupada was happy. Prabhupada was happy with whatever Krishna gave him. And he always made the best. And his second temple was another little storefront in a rundown neighborhood near Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. Srila Prabhupada named San Francisco New Jagannath Puri. And the same thing he was doing in Calcutta when he was a little child, having ratayatras, he did it in San Francisco. He arranged a ratayatra. He told devotees what to do. The first one was on the back of a truck. They had singing and dancing and prasad distribution. I think they just made chapatis for everybody. And Prabhupada was so proud of them that soon after, with his own hands, pencil, I think it was on a paper bag, because Prabhupada didn't like to waste paper, he drew a chariot with the dimensions and told Shamsundar Prabhu, "You can make this." So then they had a nice chariot ratayatra in San Francisco. And from that little courtyard of Radha Govinda Temple and the alleyways of Calcutta, soon Srila Prabhupada took Ratayatras to practically every major city in the world. And in people's homes, in temples, approximately 108 temples, Srila Prabhupada established while he was physically with us. And almost everywhere he established the worship of Gaur Nitai, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And one time in Atlanta, Georgia, where the main deities were large 8-metal forms of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, when Srila Prabhupada saw them, he became so immersed in ecstatic love and compassion, which is the mood of Gaur Nitai, to taste love for Krishna and to express that love through compassion by giving it to others. Instead of chanting Radha Madhava, which he always chanted for every Srimad Bhagavatam class, gazing upon the forms of Gaur Nitai, he chanted this prayer of Lochan Das Thakur, Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaur Chandra. He had to teach the devotee how to play the mridanga. And as he began chanting, we can never truly understand what is in the heart of a Paramhamsa Mahabhagavat, descendant of the spiritual world. But we can have our own realizations. Srila Prabhupada, just before he boarded Jaladuta, he came to Mayapur, to the samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, to pray for his mercy. Here in Mayapur, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda for their mercy, because it was their command that in every town and every village throughout the world, my names will be chanted. That journey on the Jaladuta, living alone in poverty for almost a year in New York City. New York City is called the Naked City. And when I was young, I used to listen to a song, "There is no pity in the Naked City." Shaisha Prabhu, do you remember that song? And it's all about how if you're poor in New York, there's no mercy. You're just beaten down by people, beaten down by the weather, beaten down by everything. Nobody wants to give you a chance if you're poor in New York City. There is no pity in the Naked City. And Prabhupada, when he came to New York, he was one of the poorest people there. How many people in New York City had only $8, $7? That's all.
And it was in rupees, so it was useless. When he came back to India, long after, he still had those 7 rupees. So he had nothing.
But he had his Srimad Bhagavatam books, and he would go to bookstores and ask people to just put it on the shelf. If somebody buys it, you know, just give me some of it, you know. He struggled. People tried to kill him. So many challenges. And now he has thousands of devotees all over the world, and temples are being developed in all over America, all over Europe. Temples began in Africa and Australia, New Zealand, India. He had just gone to South America and Mexico, where there were temples and devotees. And in Atlanta, he looked at Gornitai and began singing this song, Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gorachandra. They are the most munificent, most merciful, supremely kind. Sabha avatara sara siramani kevala anandakanda. They're the essence of all avatars. And they're giving the highest realization of love of God, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, through a path that is kevala anandakanda, that is joyfully performed, chanting and dancing. Srila Prabhupada never ever took credit for anything he did. He would give all credit to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, that I am simply trying to follow his instruction. Without changing anything, I'm simply repeating. It is all his mercy. And he would give all credit to his disciples, people who were totally lost, who never heard of Krishna, never heard of bhakti, who were immersed in an ocean of all sorts of materialistic activities, hopeless. And he lifted them up. He empowered them. He inspired them. And then he gave them credit for whatever he did. He said, the credit goes to all of you. And he would name his devotees and what they had done, because you are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. He is empowering all of you. And ultimately, the root of all that mercy and compassion, the root of all love, is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. All mercy is ultimately coming by their compassion. So here he was, gazing at Gornitai, seeing people from all over the world, people from India, people from America, people from Europe, people from South America, people from African origin. They're all in the temple together. And Prabhupada is singing, Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana. You are supremely merciful. And he hardly chanted the first line when he went into a state of ecstasy. He couldn't even make a sound with his voice. He closed his eyes, and something that was extremely rare, that most no devotee ever saw, tears flowed from his eyes.
as he meditated on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in his love. And when he opened his eyes, there was total silence. Most of the devotees were crying. And Srila Prabhupada, he just said, "Chant Hare Krishna." So today we'd like to begin with a simple story of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya, when he returned from Gaya and established the Sankirtan movement, up until now, he was simply sharing the sweet, loving rasas of pure bhakti with his devotees, with Gadadhar Pandit, Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadas Murari, Suklambar, Vakreshwar, Budhimanta Khan, Sridhar. He was fulfilling all their desires. Haridas Thakur. After all, it was through their prayers that he descended to this world. Throughout the day, throughout the night, they were absorbed in the pastimes of Vrindavan. Through their Harikatha, through their satsang, through their Hari Kirtan. Their association with one another was the highest benedictions in their lives. That's how they recognized it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give the highest happiness to each and every one of his devotees because the devotees were giving the highest happiness to him. During the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya, each and every one of the devotees was there. Whatever form of Bhagavan they worshipped, he manifested personally that form right before their eyes and revealed their own eternal identity in the spiritual world. And then he fulfilled whatever desire they had in their heart. So up till now, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is simply his loving reciprocations with all of his devotees and all the devotees' loving reciprocations with each other, centered around pleasing him. One day, something incredible and historical happened. Lord Chaitanya called for Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. Mahaprabhu said, "Listen, listen, Nityananda. Listen, Haridas. Go to each house. Go to each bathing ghat, to each marketplace. Go to everyone you see and give them this simple message. Chant Krishna's names. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's your true wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Please chant the names of Krishna."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
don't consider who is fit or who is unfit for this message. To the Brahmins, to the priests, to the outcasts, to the poor, to the rich, everyone, give them this message. And every evening, come back and give me a report.
Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur took this message so seriously. It very much reminds us of Srila Prabhupada. He was given that same message and he took it so seriously. He didn't just go house to house, he went country to country.
Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. Nityananda Prabhu is Baladev.
They took the role of preachers with such humility. Here Nityananda and Haridas, they would go to people's houses with straw between their teeth, which is an expression of total humility. If somebody puts straw between their teeth today, you'll just think they like to eat straw. Because it doesn't mean anything.
But in those days, it really meant something. If you put straw between your teeth and you approach somebody, that means you're taking the humblest position under their feet. So they would go with straw between their teeth. To people, some were atheists. Some were drunkards. Some were very materialistic people. Some were nice people. They didn't make any discrimination. And with folded palms, even sometimes on their knees, they would beg. We've come to your house as beggars. We beg you only this. Chant Krishna's names. Serve Krishna. Remember Krishna speaking about Krishna. Krishna is your mother, your father, your true wealth, your life and soul. Please chant the name of Krishna. And if you do so, I will be you will be my very life and soul. This is God Himself speaking.
Balaram,
the source of Mahavishnu, the source of Lord Narayan, the source of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, the source of the Lord within the heart of every living being, the maintainer of the entire creation, the foundation of the whole spiritual world. This is Balaram. He's coming to our houses.
Usually you don't expect big people to come to you. You have to go to them.
He's coming to their houses, begging.
And so many people, when they would see the tears of compassion in Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas's eyes, their hearts melted.
They were totally transformed. Yes, I will chant Krishna's names. But some of the houses they went to, people were very inimical. They would say, get out from here. We don't want any beggars. No beggars allowed.
We're begging only this one thing. We cannot tolerate to see your suffering in this world.
They're giving liberation.
And if people curse them, Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they would offer their prostrated obeisances to those people with tears in their eyes. Please take the name of Krishna. In his previous incarnation as Baladev, in Naimasharanya, Lord Balaram saw this hypocritical, arrogant and envious person sitting on a high seat. His name was Romaharshan Sutta. And by the power of Balaram, he took a single piece of grass and touched him with it. And Romaharshan was vanquished. He fell dead. Of course, he gave him liberation. Now that same Balaram is taking that piece of grass and putting it in his teeth and begging people with all humility who are thousands of times more fallen than Romaharshan Sutta, I am your servant. Just take Krishna's names and you will be my life and soul. Some people, they said, get out from here. And they made so much propaganda. These people are beggars. They're useless. You know what they're doing? They're going house to house. And they have this technique, like they're trying to give you something, the holy names of Krishna and all that. But actually, they're just looking around in your house in the background, because at night, they're going to come and rob you. So don't open your door from them. They're thieves. They're criminals. This is what was being promoted. Haridas and Nityananda, they went to the next house and the next house and the next shop and the next marketplace. And every night they would come back and give a report to Lord Chaitanya. One day, as they were roaming through the town of Navadvip, they saw quite a large crowd of people in a circle. What is this? They heard all kinds of noises. They came toward the inner part of that circle, and they saw a distance away were two horrible, demoniac-looking people. Practically every word that was coming out of their mouth, and they didn't speak softly. They were yelling, roaring. They were obscene, terrible words. These men were so highly intoxicated on liquors and wines. They were beating each other, pulling each other's hair. Lord Nityananda asked some of the people who were watching, who are they? They are coming from very high Brahmin families. Madhavananda, Jagadananda. From their mother's side, generations and generations of pious people. From father's side, same. But these two brothers, from their earliest childhood, due to terrible association, they commit every type of cruel act possible. They rob people's houses. They burn people's houses. They kill with their own hands. They slaughter cows and eat them. They're constantly intoxicated. Within the whole town of Navadvip, everyone is afraid of coming anywhere near them. And even the police can do nothing about them because they're so powerful. They are called now Jagai and Madhai. They were making such a scene. Nityananda Prabhu turned to Haridas Thakur, said, our beloved Lord Sri Gauranga
He is Patita Pavana Avatar. He has descended in this incarnation to deliver the most fallen. We have convinced many people to chant Krishna's names, and some people have rejected us, some people have accepted us. But if we can make these people intoxicated, not on wine, but on Harinam and love for Krishna, if we can transform their hearts with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then throughout all of Navadvip and throughout all of the world, people will recognize that our Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. Haridas, you delivered so many yavanas when they were trying to kill you and everything. So let's deliver them in the name of our beloved Lord. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas approached Jagai and Madhai. The people around, they were so afraid, they were terrified of Jagai and Madhai. Please understand, these are not just two drunkards. Sometimes at our temples we have dramas of Jagai and Madhai, and they're going, "Oh, Jagai, oh, Madhai," and everybody's laughing at them. It's like a comedy team or something. It's not at all the way they were. If you take all the terrorists in the world today with their cruelty and meanness, put it all together, it doesn't compare to Jagai and Madhai. People were horrified with fear of them because they were so destructive. Who were they? These two brothers, in their previous births, were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. If they're together, is anybody laughing? They tear even the demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam tells when Hiranyakashipu raised his eyebrow with dissatisfaction, every single demigod would be trembling in fear. So many of you are raising your eyebrows and nobody. What are you going to do? This was their power. And in the next birth, Jagai and Madhai were Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna, just for breakfast, he would eat thousands of people and monkeys and elephants and horses and every type of flesh there was on earth. He would just eat it and roar and trample on people. And Ravana was so evil. The demigods prayed to Vishnu to appear to rescue the world from Ravana. And in their next births, Jagai and Madhai were Shishupal and Dantavakra, who only Krishna himself could vanquish. And now they came as Jagai and Madhai. They were the most cruel, powerful demons on earth. So when Haridas and Nityananda, smiling, walk toward Jagai and Madhai to request them to chant Hare Krishna, the people, they were so alarmed, they called out, "No, no, don't, you don't understand. These people will definitely kill you. They're not going to hear your message. Don't go, please don't go." And Nityananda and Haridas went right up to them, said, my dear, with tears of compassion in their eyes, my dear brothers, please give up these sinful activities. We don't want to see you suffer. Chant Krishna's name. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your true wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. We beg you, please chant the names of Krishna from their hearts with profound sincerity. They made that request. Jagai and Madhai, hearing it, felt insulted. Oh, they became so angry, like blazing fire. Their eyes glowed with wrath. They turned and looked at Haridas and Nitai and cried out, catch them, kill them, and charged after to kill them. Jagai and Madhai were huge people too. Now, Balaram, he's the source of Mahavishnu. Does he have to fear them? But taking the role of a humble devotee, Nityananda Prabhu turned around and ran away. And Haridas, seeing that, he turned around and ran away. And they're running together, and they were running really fast, and Jagai and Madhai were running right behind them, just about to reach them, but they couldn't reach them. They were running and running, and Nitai and Haridas were running, and they were chasing, and constantly Jagai and Madhai were screaming out, stop, stop, we are Jagai Madhai, you do not know who we are, stop! We will kill you! Nityananda and Haridas ran faster. It appeared that they were afraid, but they were laughing. Nityananda Prabhu said, those yavanas, they were beating you and beating you and tried to kill you, but Krishna saved you, so please pray to Krishna to save us now. We're about to be killed. And Haridas Thakur said to Nityananda, as they're running, and Jagai and Madhai is right behind them. Haridas said, I got away from the yavanas. Krishna saved me. But now, today I'm going to die. Why have you done this? These are terrible, murderous demons. The people told us not to go near, and you went right up to him, and you told him to chant the holy names because of your restlessness. Today, I don't think I'm going to survive. Nitai, he said, why are you saying I am restless? I am not restless. It is our Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's the one who has given this order. No time in the entire history has anybody given an instruction like this. Even great kings do not tell people to go to every door, to every person, and get them, please chant Hare Krishna, without discrimination. It is your Lord, it is our Lord that is restless.
And in this way, they were laughing and running. And after a long distance, Jagai and Madhai, who were very big because they were eating so much meat and they were drinking so much wine, that they finally collapsed. They couldn't run any further. But they had such a violent mood that they began to hit each other and scratch each other, kick each other, pull each other's hair, bite each other. And Haridas and Nityananda ran to Lord Chaitanya's house to give their report. And they gave the report.
Lord Chaitanya asked
Gangadas Pandit and Srivas Thakur, do you know who this Jagai and Madhai are?
And said, yes, we understand. We know. Everybody in Navadweep knows. Everybody is racked with fear of them. At any moment, your house is going to be set on fire. Who could live in such a situation?
And they explained the history. Lord Chaitanya, he said, because Nityananda Prabhu has decided to deliver them, very soon they will be delivered. Haridas Thakur, who is best of best friends with Sri Advaita Prabhu, when Haridas first came, after being persecuted at Benapol, and after being persecuted at Chandpur, he came to Shantipur, and Advaitacharya worshipped him and honored him, and they became best of friends. In fact, Advaitacharya's hospitality is according to the person. It's not just a stereotyped ritual. Advaitacharya, he honored and worshipped Haridas because of his deep devotion and his attachment to chanting the holy names and living in compassion to all beings. He considered him the greatest of Brahmins and the greatest of saints, even though others rejected him as a malecha, yavana. Advaita, he knew that Haridas would not stay in his house. So he gave him the accommodation that Haridas would like best. He arranged a cave for Haridas. He lived in a cave near the bank of the Ganges. So they were such friends. Together they would chant and cry for the Lord to appear. Haridas said to Advaita, I cannot explain how difficult it is to have Nityananda Prabhu as my partner in preaching. He's so mischievous, he's so restless, he's so unpredictable. During the monsoon rainy season when the Ganga is just flowing so fast with whirlpools and it's Nityananda Prabhu sees crocodiles, giant Bengali man-eating crocodiles in the waters. And he jumps in the Ganges chasing after the crocodiles. He's catching the crocodiles in these monsoon swirling waters of the Ganga. And I'm calling out to him, stop, stop, don't do that, stop. And Nityananda just smiles and is catching crocodiles. And then he comes to shore and he sees a young boy. And he chases after the boy as if he's going to beat him. And the boy runs home and tells his father. And then his father and all his relatives come running out and Nityananda hides. And they all come to me. And I have to fall on their feet and beg forgiveness and say, I won't let him do that again. Please, please just be peaceful. And then he'll see a young girl. Just a little. And he'll tell the young girl, will you marry me? And then the young girl will get all scared and tell her parents, and the parents will come out charging, what is you doing? And Nityananda's gone. They come to me. It's like this every day.
Nityananda will go into people's houses like a cowherd boy, but he's a grown man. He looks like a sannyasi, and he goes into people's houses and he steals their butter and he steals their yogurt and he steals their milk and he's eating it, and then he runs away, and then they come to me to beat me. And today, Nityananda Prabhu went to these gigantic murderers, thieves, plunderers who were totally intoxicated. And against the advice of the whole town of Navadvip, he went and asked them to live a pure life of devotion and chant Krishna's names, and they chased after us. And I'm lucky that I'm still alive. He does these things every day.
When Advaita heard this,
he entered into a state of ecstasy. He started laughing very, very loud. And he began to dance. He said, "Yes, this is Nitai. Why are you surprised? Drunken people like to be with other drunken people. They are drunk on wine. And Nitai is drunk in ecstatic love for Krishna. So now the three drunkards, naturally they want to be together." And then Advaitacharya, very, very roaring voice, he said, "Very soon, Jagai and Madhai will be dancing in kirtan with all the rest of us as devotees, because Nityananda Prabhu has decided to give his mercy." Meanwhile, Jagai and Madhai were going around doing everything they did, and they would travel to different places. And they decided to camp out for some time, to reside at the bathing ghat near the Ganga that Lord Chaitanya and his associates would bathe at every day. It was just next, very close to the Yogapitha, where Mahaprabhu resided with Sachimata and Vishnupriya. The devotees were having their all-night kirtans. Jagai and Madhai would hear the murdungas playing and the kartals playing and the singing, and it induced them to drink more and more and more of their wine. And they were so drunk. They started dancing to the rhythm of the murdungas and kartals. They started dancing to the kirtan. Then they drink more wine, then they dance more, then they drink more wine, and they dance more. And one day Lord Chaitanya came to the Ganga, and he stayed a distance from them because they're very contaminated kind of people. And Jagai and Madhai called out for him to him in a very sarcastic, condescending way. He said, "Oh, Nimai, Nimai, you're having very good music in your house. You must be worshipping Chandi Devi, and we will give you nice puja materials, meat and wine and all these things to facilitate your puja and make it better." Nimai would ignore them, take his bath and go away. No one would go to that bathing ghat anymore. If anyone were going to go, they would go with at least 10 or 20 people, because they were so afraid of Jagai and Madhai. One day, Nityananda Prabhu, he knew Jagai and Madhai were there. All alone, he went right to that place with the same request. Jagai and Madhai could not believe that he was walking up to them all along. He was standing in between them. He said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And Nityananda Prabhu said, "I'm on my way to the house of my Lord."
"What is your name?"
Nityananda Prabhu said, "My name is Avadhuta." Upon hearing that, Madhai, seething with anger, picked up a clay pot that was broken and sharp. And with that pot, he roared. And with all of his strength, he smashed Nityananda Prabhu right on his forehead. With such force that blood poured out of Nityananda Prabhu's head. And very soon, his body and all of his clothes were soaked with blood. Nityananda Prabhu standing between the two of them. And he says to Jagai and Madhai, "I do not mind what you have done to me, but it breaks my heart to see how you are wasting your life and how you will have to pay for all of your sins. Please, take Krishna's names. Serve Krishna in your life." Nityananda forgave them. Madhai, his anger multiplied. He considered this even a greater insult. He picked up another pot and he was about, with all of his strength, to try to kill Nityananda on the spot. But seeing Nityananda Prabhu, he had tears in his eyes, not because of any pain that he was suffering, but the pain of his compassion for them. At that moment, Jagai held the hand of Madhai and said, "Don't hit him. This person is forgiving us. This person is a saintly person. Do not hit him." Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people who saw this ran to his home and told him what happened, and along with his devotees, he charged in great anger to protect his devotee. And there he saw Madhai with a pot in his hand, Nitai covered with blood. Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya's eyes glowed like the rising sun. They became so red. And he lifted his hand and called out, "Chakra, chakra." At that moment, the immortal Sudarsan chakra appeared on his finger, swirling around, blazing, blinding light was emanating from it. Lord Chaitanya stood before them as death personified, about to sever their heads for what they did to these devotees and what they did to so many people. It was justice. But Nityananda Prabhu doesn't think in terms of justice. He thinks only in terms of mercy. Why? Because he actually knows the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was playing the role, but Nityananda Prabhu actually knew what was in his heart. Nityananda Prabhu stopped Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Please do not harm them.
Nitai said, all the spiritual activities, all the devotional service, all the pious activities I've ever done in my entire life, in all my previous lives, I will exchange them all for just one thing. Forgive Jagai and Madhai and give them love of God. Besides that, even though I'm bleeding, it doesn't hurt. And please understand that Jagai saved me. Jagai stopped him from hitting me again. As soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that, he turned to his Sudarshan chakra disappeared, and he turned with great compassion to Jagai. He said, You have helped Nityananda? You are my life and soul. Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai. And when he embraced him, ecstatic love of God entered into Jagai's heart. Jagai fell to the ground in ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya took his lotus foot and placed it on Jagai's heart. Jagai, with both of his hands, he pressed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet to his heart, would not let it go. Tears were pouring from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. He couldn't say anything but Krishna, Krishna. His heart was transformed.
And then Mahaprabhu turned to Madhai with his Sudarshan chakra. Madhai and Jagai, they were like one person in two bodies. Madhai said, when he saw Jagai transformed into a pure devotee, he wanted that too. He saw, he's happy, I'm miserable. He's getting eternal life, I'm about to die. He begged Lord Chaitanya, whatever he did, I did. Whatever I did, he did. So if you give him love of God, give me love of God. Don't kill me, please. Lord Chaitanya, roaring like Narasimhadev, he said, he protected Nitai. You wanted to kill him. Therefore, I will destroy you. Madhai was begging, pleading, please have mercy on me. And Lord Chaitanya told him, I have no power to forgive you. But if you fall at the lotus feet with all sincerity of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, if he forgives you, then you will be given the highest liberation. Madhai, not just for his own rescue, but from his heart, with a genuine transformation, he understood the saintliness of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. He fell at Nityananda Prabhu's feet. He was crying and begging, please forgive me, please forgive me. Lord Chaitanya looked at Nityananda Prabhu and said, if you lift him up and embrace him with genuine love and affection, then he will be liberated. Nityananda Prabhu's body is covered with blood because of Madhai. Lifted him up, and with such tender love, affection, compassion, Nityananda Prabhu embraced him. And with that embrace, Madhai attained the highest liberation. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabu Noi Saravanadi Supichiti Koriya Yudhoi. This is a message of Lord Chaitanya, that love for Krishna is within the heart of every living being. It's our constitutional nature. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Ranitidas.
We're all eternally subordinate to Krishna. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. By associating with great devotees of the Lord and chanting the names, that love, that prema is awakened within us. Upon Nityananda Prabhu's loving, compassionate embrace, Krishna prema awoke within the heart of Madhai. Lord Nityananda didn't take any credit himself. He offered Jagai and Madhai to Lord Chaitanya. It is by the grace of my master, Lord Gauranga, that you have been liberated. I now offer you to the lotus feet of my beloved master. Lord Chaitanya said to Jagai and Madhai, never ever engage in sinful activities again. Chant the holy names of the Lord. If you do this, I will absolve you from all your previous sins and you will forever have ecstatic love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada cited this instruction many times. The simple message: chant the names of Krishna sincerely and not to engage in sinful activities. In our initiation ceremony, basically that's the same vow. We're taking the same vow that Jagai and Madhai took before Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We're vowing to follow these four regulative principles, which means to refrain from engaging in the pillars of sinful life: illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. And to chant the holy names. When we take this Harinam initiation, we're actually getting the same kind of mercy that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda gave to Jagai and Madhai. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains something in this regard that's very crucial to our spiritual lives. That Jagai and Madhai engaged in so many terrible deeds, but they never criticized or blasphemed devotees before they met Nityananda and Haridas, because they were never with devotees. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, even if you're the most sinful coming from the lowest family, if you give up committing offenses to Vaishnavas and chant the holy name, you can be delivered to love of Krishna. But even if you're a pundit, even if you're a sannyasi, tapasi, even if you're a great spiritual yogi, and even if you're chanting God's name so many times, if you offend devotees, you cannot achieve that. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this regard that if we're chanting God's names, the names of Hari, and we're blaspheming, criticizing, ridiculing, trying to pull down devotees, then Krishna is so displeased with us that in his own name that we're chanting, he will punish us and bring us down. At one time in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya rose, put both of his arms in the air and said, I give you two instructions. Always chant Krishna's names and do not offend others. If you do that, I will personally deliver you and bring you to the spiritual world. So to give up immoral activities, to be very careful not to perform this elephant defense of offending other devotees, and to chant the names of Krishna, were the three instructions that we get from this wonderful narration. Now Jagai and Madhai are ecstatic devotees. They are more humble than blades of grass, offering all respects to others. Seeing this transformation, the devotees were completely amazed, and Lord Chaitanya said, I have taken all your sins. Now you are free. Come to my house and have kirtan with us. They all went to Lord Chaitanya's house. Lord Chaitanya is sitting with Gadadhar, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita, and all the devotees around. And they sit Jagai and Madhai right along with them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, never discriminate against Jagai and Madhai because of what they did before, because that's gone. Do not see a devotee for the bad things they have done in the past if they have actually surrendered. I want you to all see that I have taken all the impious deeds of Jagai and Madhai away from them in my own body. And at that moment, Lord Chaitanya's body turned deep black color. Those are the sins of Jagai and Madhai. It was quite scary looking. Lord Chaitanya asks, what do you see? Advaitacharya said, now you look just like Gokul Chandra, like Krishna from Vrindavan with his blackish form. And Lord Chaitanya had to laugh. He said, everyone for all time to come should know they are completely pure because they have surrendered. They're chanting the names of God in the mood of service of the servant of the servant. I have taken all of their past deeds away. And where will these deeds go? They have to go somewhere. He said, everyone chant the holy names. And then all the sins of Jagai and Madhai, they will go right into the bodies and the hearts of those who blaspheme and offend the Vaishnavas. Devotees chanted. Lord Chaitanya's golden, beautiful form resplendently manifested. And he got up with Nityananda Prabhu to dance. As Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu were dancing together, all the other devotees got up in a circle around them, dancing. Advaita was dancing, Gadadhar was dancing, Haridas was dancing, Jagai and Madhai were dancing. And it was so spontaneous, it was so transcendentally pleasing that Jagai and Madhai and everybody else was bumping into each other like you do when you're dancing here in the Pumble. Sometimes you crash into each other and you just smile. It's fine. It's nice. And in this way, Jagai and Madhai became intimate associates of the Panchatattva. After chanting and dancing for a long time throughout most of the night, Jagai and Madhai were taken by Lord Chaitanya and their associates to the Ganga, where they all took bath. And then what Jagai and Madhai saw was unbelievable. Here's these greatest, most exalted saints like Advaita and Nityananda and Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta. And when they were in the water of the Ganga, they were like cowherd boys. They were playing and joking and swimming and splashing. This is what they would do to end all of their kirtans. They would play in the Ganga together. This pastime had such a profound effect on the whole universe. The demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they were amazed. They couldn't believe it. They had never seen such mercy. Ram, he shot an arrow in Ravana's heart and gave him liberation in his next life. Varaha, he punched Hiranyaksha and then stabbed him with his tusk and liberated him. Hiranyakashipu, Nrisimhadev roared with anger personified in its purest, most transcendental state and ripped him apart. And Shishupal Dantavakra, Krishna's club and Krishna's chakra liberated them. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, their mercy, they didn't kill Jagai and Madhai. They killed demoniac tendencies within Jagai and Madhai and transformed them into the most humble, pure, gentle, compassionate saints. This had never been seen before to this extent. The demigods never even saw any incarnation of God show such an extent of mercy as this. They all came just to see it. And they were all celebrating Lord Gauranga. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padaya, the most munificent, the most merciful, the most magnanimous of all incarnations, Rupa Goswami composed this beautiful prayer. That was the mood of all the demigods. Then Yamaraj, he came to see what happened. He saw Jagai and Madhai dancing ecstatically with tears of love flowing from their eyes, their hair standing on end, they're trembling in ecstatic devotion. He asked Chitragupta, who keeps track of the different records of sins, he asked Chitragupta, tell me the extent of Jagai and Madhai's impious deeds. Yamaraj is the superintendent of death, the administrative head of karma. Chitragupta said, impossible to explain. He said, we have an entire department who are trying to keep up with the impious deeds of Jagai and Madhai. We have hundreds and hundreds of scribes trying to keep up. In fact, we have thousands of scribes trying to keep up at the same time. This is how terrible these men were. And they're all so overworked, going overtime, that they're practically exhausted and ready to commit suicide because they just can't keep up with it. They have a huge mountain of records with all of these terrible, cruel, impious deeds. And now, and sometimes they're crying, what are going to happen to these two people? What kind of suffering? What kind of hellish consequences? For how long? This is inconceivable. And now that entire mountain of sins is finished. All their karma is pure. And now they have love of God. Now we have to figure out what to do with these records. There's no place big enough to put them. I guess we just have to, somehow or other, it's going to be a long time. We have to carry them all and put them in the ocean or something. When Yamaraj heard this, such mercy he had never, ever, ever imagined. He fell unconscious on his chariot. There was no symptoms of life, no breath, no heartbeat, no pulse. He was in ecstasy. He was in a samadhi state. Chitragupta, the other associates of Yamaraj, they were trying to make him come back to life. They saw he was in this ecstatic state. And then Brahma and Shiva and Narada and Sukadev and Indra and Chandra and Vayu and Agni, they all saw Yamaraj laying unconscious in his chariot. And they all came and asked, what happened? Chitragupta told them, all these great demigods, sages, and rishis loudly in Yamaraj's ears to try to awaken him out of his state of samadhi were chanting Krishna's holy name. Suddenly, Yamaraj jumped in the air, dancing, chanting the names of Gauranga. 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 And all the demigods and all the sages and all the rishis were chanting the names of Gauranga because they had never seen any exhibition of mercy, kindness, and compassion like this. Brahma was dancing. Out of control. You don't usually think of Brahma being out of control, but he was like that. His foreheads were chanting names of Gauranga, and along with him was Kashyapa Muni and Daksha and Kardama Muni and all of these great Prajapatis. They were all chanting and dancing together. And then there was Shiva. Shiva was dancing. He was roaring the names of Gauranga with his five mouths. And there was, on one side of him was Ganesh dancing in ecstasy and Kartikeya dancing in ecstasy. Indra, seeing it with his thousand eyes, each of his eyes were weeping tears of ecstasy, thinking, how merciful is Lord Gauranga. Narada Muni, as he was dancing, he lost his veena. He was so totally out of this world, immersed in thinking of Lord Chaitanya, he actually lost his veena. Shukadev Goswami was dancing beautifully, beautifully, so gracefully, chanting the names of Gauranga. And Indra was so much out of external consciousness, so much moved by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that he lost his thunderbolt, he lost his crown, he lost all his jewelry, and he didn't care, he didn't know it. He was simply crying out with all the other devas and all the other sages, glorification of the mercy of Gauranga. Jagai and Madhai were personifications of this beautiful verse that Lord Chaitanya gave to us. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. But Madhai, Madhai was in deep spiritual distress. He could not get out of his mind how much pain he caused to other people. Even though he was forgiven, even though he was given ecstatic love of God, even though his pure soul in its absolute constitutional natural state was shining, still, I cause Nityananda Prabhu to bleed. I tried to kill him. The person who forgave me, the person who gave me the greatest wealth of ecstatic love, I caused him pain. I soaked him with his own blood. His heart could not come out of that state. One day, he met Lord Nityananda in a secluded place, fell down at his lotus feet and said, "How could I live with myself that I caused you to bleed?" Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him and smiled. He said, "If a father has a little son and the son hits him, the father doesn't take it seriously. So I am your father and you're my little son. So if you hit me, I don't take it seriously. You are forgiven." But I said, "But what about all the people that I caused pain to? All the people I robbed them, I plundered them, I did things to their relatives, I beat them. What about all of them? Most of them, I was so drunk, I don't even know who I did it to. I want to go and I want to beg forgiveness, but I don't even know who they all are. What should I do?" Nityananda Prabhu told, "Go to the river Ganga and with your own hands build a beautiful bathing ghat where the people could come and comfortably take their baths. By being close to Mother Ganga constantly, by serving Mother Ganga, through serving her children, you will be free of all. And every single person that comes to that bathing ghat, after you build it, maintain it, keep it clean, and render personal, humble service to everyone that comes." Madhai did that. When people would come to that bathing ghat that he built, he would welcome them. With tears of sincerity, he would prostrate himself at their feet. Whoever they were, to every single person who came, he did this. He prostrated at their feet, and he, with folded hands and tears falling from his eyes, he prayed, "Please forgive me for any pain, for any offense that I may have caused to you or any of your loved ones." When people would see this, their hearts were transformed. They would cry. Just see the glory of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They have made such a cruel person who we would run away from and lock our doors and have weapons to protect ourselves. And now look at him. But some people, they were so upset because of what they had done in the past, that when Madhai would cry and bow down and beg for forgiveness, some people would pick up a big, heavy rock and say, "You caused so much pain to me and my family," and throw it and hit him right on the head. Madhai, with all humility, he would pick up the rock and give it back to the person, and said, "Please, throw it again. If I caused you any pain, please throw it again." And even that person's heart would melt. Those people would fall at Madhai's feet. Madhai would fall at their feet. Jagai and Madhai became the very personification of Lord Chaitanya's principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And even today, in Katwa, on the banks of the river Ganga, thousands of people every year, perhaps tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands, they visit the Samadhi Mandir of Madhai, because he personifies hope. The hope that all of us have if we simply, sincerely connect to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In this world, there are so many distractions, so many allurements, so many complications we have to deal with. But we should never lose that focus of the true blessing we have in our life that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, if we give up these materialistic ways, these selfish, greedy, lusty, arrogant ways, and if we truly live as servant of the servant, if we're very careful not to offend others, and if we take the name of Krishna sincerely, that simple mood of surrender, Sharanagati, Dina hina yata chilo harinam udhari lotara sakshi jagai madhai. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he composed what Srila Prabhupada told our dear god sister Yamuna Devi was his favorite song. Hari hari vipale janamakonainu. One particular verse. Dina hinayata chilo hadi nama udharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. See the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy. The power they invested in the holy names of Krishna. That even Jagai and Madhai were given the highest love of Krishna and the purest character of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavism is so much about the character in which we live. It cannot be overestimated. The holy names of Krishna will purify us of all lifetimes and lifetimes of materialistic implications and awaken Krishna prema. But in order for that effect to come quickly, it is very important that we live with the character of a Vaishnava, a well-wisher, a servant of a servant. Srila Prabhupada embodied, he was bold, he was fearless, but he was always humble. We are not the doer, we are not the enjoyer, and we are not the proprietor. We are the servant of the servant of the servant. Should I continue? I'm going to tell a long story in a very small form. So in all of these pastimes that we're seeing, it was Lord Chaitanya with his devotees. But as far as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming out into the public to demonstrate his ecstatic dance, it had never been seen. The kirtans were in Srivasangam. And up until now, Jagayan Madhai was, the kirtans were again in Srivasangam in Lord Chaitanya's house. Up until now, they were very much closed among those who had pure hearts of love and devotion. The pious people of Navadvip, they wanted so much to participate in Lord Chaitanya's kirtans. But there were so many envious people who were so critical. They were always blaspheming Lord Chaitanya and blaspheming Srivas and all the devotees. They would have kirtan in Srivasangam, they would lock the doors. People would, some proud people, I want to come in. You know, if they were to come in, how could the kirtan have the ras that it did? So they were not allowed in, and they were, how dare you refuse me? I know so many verses, I have so many disciples, so many students. Who are you? I am from such a high family. So they retaliated, many of these people and others. What are these? What is happening in Srivas's house? They're doing all these black satanic tantric rites. During the day they go out and they find young girls and they bring them and they feed them wines and exploit them. The most terrible things are happening. That's why they don't let us in. And these were the types of rumors they were spreading all around Navadvip. And the pious people, they were longing and praying, we want to see Lord Gaurhari dance. We want to be a part of his kirtan. But because these totally materialistic, arrogant people are always criticizing and blaspheming, we'll never get to see. This was going on.
And then these very, very arrogant people, they'd hear these people talking like this, the pious, and they'd say,
hit one of them, get them!
They'd have to run away. Navadvip was very divided. One day, early morning, Nimai just came out of his house. Thousands of people from Navadvip, the pious, simple-hearted people, they all came to offer him gifts. Some gave him bananas, some gave him coconuts, some gave him cloths, some gave him different types of spices. They were all offering gifts of love to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. With just patram pushpam palam, they were offering their devotion. Lord Chaitanya smiled upon all of them. He said, I'm giving you this simple instruction. Chant Krishna's names. Serve Krishna. Talk about Krishna among each other. Krishna is your life and soul. He's the true wealth of life. He said, wherever you are, whatever you happen to be doing, chant the names of the Lord. He said, I will teach you a mantra that all of you should chant. It is right there in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly teaches all the pious people of Navadvip that you chant this mantra and you will be delivered. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant this Maha Mantra. Wherever you are,
whatever you're doing. When you come home from work at night, when you come at home, chant this mantra, play, clap your hands. If you don't have instruments, if you have instruments, you can play mridangas, you can play cymbals, you can play horns, whatever instruments you have, with your family, with your friends, chant Hare Krishna mantra. And you may also chant this mantra. Hari Hadaye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Hadaye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The residents of Navadvipa were so happy, they were so grateful. They bowed down to Lord Chaitanya. They felt the perfection of their life. And they all went back to their homes. And from this day, all over Navadvipa, in almost every home, there were drums playing and cymbals playing and the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. They were playing in their shops. They were singing when they were going down the roads. They would bring their families together and chant. One day, the Chankazi, who was in charge of law enforcement on behalf of the Mughal king, he happened to be walking through Navadvipa. He had made a law that no Hindu could practice their religion in a public way. Now he's walking down the street,
and in all four directions, there's kirtan. Everyone. He was so angry. He brought his soldiers. He started beating people. He saw mridanga. He went into someone's house in great anger. He picked up the mridanga. He smashed it against the ground and it broke into so many pieces. He was outraged. For all these years, you Hindus have followed the laws that we have mandated. What happened? Why is there this change? Why all over the place is this happening? Is it this Nimai Pandit?
I will not cause devastation. But if ever again I hear anyone chanting these Hindu prayers of God's names, Hindu names, I will beat you. I will take away all of your property. I will put you in prison and torture you. People were very scared. They came to Lord Chaitanya and told him,
He said, have no fear. Krishna will protect you. Go back and chant. They tried. But the Chankazi sent over 1,000 soldiers every day throughout Navadweep just searching for anyone who was doing kirtan to beat, to torture, and to plunder. The people of Navadweep came back to Lord Chaitanya and told him what the state of affairs actually was. And he saw how afraid they were. Sachi-san made a thunderous cry, touching the hearts of all the townspeople. Lord Chaitanya said, Nityananda, give me your attention. Go to the house of every Vaishnava and give them this message. Today, I will do kirtan in all of Navadweep. I will see who will do what to me. I will see. Today, I will set Kazi's door and house on fire. What will the king do? That I will see. I will see. Today I will make a great rainstorm of pure devotional service and ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. Today, time personified will stand before the blasphemers. O people of Nadia, O my brothers, go. Go everywhere and repeat this order. Let everyone who wishes to see Lord Krishna's secret come here with a torch. I will smash the Kazi's house. I will perform kirtan at the Kazi's door. I will see what he will do. The numberless universes are filled with my servants, the servants of my servants. Why be afraid when I am present? No one should feel in their hearts even a half of sesame seeds worth of fear. Everyone should eat lunch and then quickly assemble here in the afternoon. All the townspeople left, but everyone was so excited, no one ate lunch. They were so excited, nothing else mattered. Please understand, they never saw Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu dance. They heard about it. They prayed. They longed. They performed tapasya. They wanted to be in his kirtan and see his dance. Today, he will dance with us. The news spread all over Navadweep instantly. To please the Lord, everyone in the town who had any piety began to make torches. Father was making torches. And the children, the sons, the daughters, they were watching and they were making torches. Whole families were making torches. Some people, individuals, made over 1,000 torches. There were millions of torches made. Just sticks. Wrap it up with cloth, and then you have to dunk it, submerge it in oil. After some time, in the afternoon, millions of people assembled at Nimai Pandit's house. How is that possible? He was talking to everyone without a sound system. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achintya Shakti. He could make space for all the millions of people to come right before his house. And he could speak in such a way and chant so everyone could hear. He told Haridas Thakur, you go in front and you dance in a kirtan party. Advaita Charya Prabhu, you go and you lead, you dance in the next kirtan party. Srivas, you dance and sing in the next kirtan party. Then Lord Chaitanya looked at Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu said, I cannot go anywhere except wherever you are. I will dance with you. Lord Chaitanya said, yes. The kirtan began. So many kirtan parties, everyone was chanting the holy names of the Lord together. Lord Chaitanya's beauty was so sweet as he raised his arms to induce everyone to chant. The kirtan was building up more and more in its enthusiasm and intensity and its bhava of ecstatic love. Then the sun went down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the indication. And all at once, millions of torches were lit. Lit up the sky. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced. On one side of him was Nityananda Prabhu, and on the other side was Gadadhar. And everyone was, of all the millions of people, Lord Chaitanya danced in such a way everyone could clearly see him. It was the most beautiful sight. His beautiful golden form with his arms like two golden pillars raised in the air. His lotus-like eyes. His large, beautiful lotus-like eyes, gazing in ecstatic love upon everyone, with streams of tears flowing. His wonderful hair, which was circling around his beautiful moon-like face, was decorated with fragrant malati flowers. He had a garland of wonderful forest flowers that extended below his knees. As he danced, it swayed back and forth. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, Lord Chaitanya, as he was chanting, his lips, they were red like the bimba fruit. His teeth were like rows of pearls. His shoulders were like the beautiful shoulders of an elephant. His neck was like that of a lion. His chest was wide. He wore beautiful golden robes. And from his mouth he cried out Krishna's holy names. Please understand, this was the first public Harinam Sankirtan party in our history. Mahaprabhu entered into the streets of Navadvip with millions of people. Advaita, Haridas were in front. Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Gadadhar were in the rear, all dancing, proceeding through the streets, along the banks of the river Ganga, going to every village, going to every town of Navadvip. It was nighttime. And yet,
It was brighter than day due to the mystical flaming torches that were everywhere.
Lord Chaitanya induced everyone to dance and sing so beautifully.
And all the people of Navadvip,
they wanted to welcome the Harinam party.
After all, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was leading.
So every house, they decorated the front door with everything auspicious. They put banana leaves and special coconuts and mango leaves, banana trees and all sorts of kumkum and different designs. It was a way in each house was welcoming Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party. And as he walked by the houses, it was irresistible. The wives just left their families to join the kirtan. The husbands didn't mind because they also left their houses to leave the kirtan. And the children, they didn't feel unprotected because they left their houses. Everyone was just running out to... And they were so completely transcendentally beyond any material awarenesses, they were totally engrossed in love of Krishna, that they didn't even close their doors.
The thieves of Navadvip,
they were thinking, this is the greatest opportunity of our lives.
Everyone's left their house. Everyone's doors are open. We can rob everything from every house there is. And they started enthusiastically running to the houses to rob them. But as they ran, they heard the kirtan and saw Mahaprabhu dancing. They forgot that they were thieves. They also ran into the kirtan, raised their arms with tears in their eyes, chanting the holy name. Shri Gaurachandra Mahaprabhu, he was dancing and dancing, and his body would become completely covered with dust one moment, and then the next moment the tears from his eyes would wash away all the dust. Then the dust would gather again, washed away by his tears. In fact, his body was soaked with tears, and everybody around him was soaked with his tears of love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so totally engrossed in this beautiful form of kirtan. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. Narottam Das Thakur has sung. That this kirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. This Harinam Sankirtan, as Mahaprabhu has given us, is eternally being practiced in Goloka. As the kirtan was inducing the whole city of Navadvip in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he entered into the mood of Krishna. While the kirtan was going, one minute Lord Chaitanya was dancing with his beautiful arms raised, the next moment his beautiful threefold bending form of Shamsundar, the color of a monsoon cloud, with a peacock feather in his hair, with both of his hands playing an elegant flute. Sri Nandanandana Krishna was playing his flute in the kirtan at one moment, and then again he would become Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was exhibiting so many ecstasies. He and Nityananda Prabhu danced. Sometimes their feet were touching, their own feet were touching their heads. Sometimes they would fall to the ground unconscious. Sometimes they would jump so high in the air, everyone was struck with wonder. And all the devotees, all the people of Navadvip, they were so submerged in this ocean of the happiness of kirtan, they didn't see. The demigods could see. They were so engrossed in the kirtan, they were so deeply fixed on seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty and his mercy, they didn't notice that every single one of them assumed four-arm forms. They attained Vaikuntha and beyond. And as you love Krishna, you love each other. People, even they didn't know each other. And sometimes it's harder to do it to somebody you know. They would fall, they were offering prostrated obeisances to each other's lotus feet. One person would take another person's lotus feet. I am your servant, I am your servant. Another person took his hair and tied it around somebody's feet just so he would be dragged around wherever that person would go. I am your servant, I am your servant. They were all embracing each other, crying on each other. It was a festival of love. As they came closer to Chankazi's house, it was becoming even more ecstatic. Some of the devotees, they would dance to the top of a high tree and jump off and keep dancing. Nobody got hurt. Not a single person got burnt by the torches. How is that? They were all completely within the internal potency of the Lord's love. Lord Chaitanya directed the party closer and closer to Chankazi's house. Chankazi heard this loud sound of music. He told some of his ministers and soldiers, "What is that? Is this some sort of Hindu marriage? Go find out. This is not allowed." The minister went. He saw. When he went there, not only was Lord Chaitanya dancing and crying and everyone was gazing upon him with so much love, not only was everyone embracing each other, infused with love themselves, but some of the people, many of the people who Chankazi's soldiers had beaten and taken away all their property, they were loudly singing, "Kill the Kazi." He became afraid. He ran back to Chankazi. Chankazi said, "What did you see?" He said, "You don't want to know. There's millions of people, literally millions of people, and everyone has torches. It's nighttime. It's like the day. And this Nimai, they don't call him Nimai anymore. They call him Gorhadi. And he's dancing and he's crying and he has complete control over people because they love him so much. They're dancing and they're singing in so much ecstasy. Lord, this Gorhadi, he's crying and he's crying. He's falling to the ground and he's jumping in the air. I've never seen anything like him. He's truly must be a saint." And others are crying, "Kill the Kazi, burn his house." Chankazi said, "I think this Nimai pundit is just participating in someone's marriage." He said, "But I will stop it. I have my armies." Just then, Lord Gauranga's kirtan came around a bend and entered close to Kazi's house, and Kazi could hear the volume of the kirtan. when he heard millions of voices crying out Krishna's name and kill Kazi. Kazi ran away. Right in front of his servants and his ministers and his generals. He ran away and hid in his house. The kirtan came right up to his door. And when you have all these millions of torches and people are that excited, Chankazi was trembling, hiding. Lord Chaitanya sat at his doorstep. He calmed down the devotees. He sent a message to one of Chankazi's assistants. Please bring Kazi here. I am his guest. He should receive me. Chankazi came down. He was trembling in fear. He sat with Lord Gauranga. Gaur Hari said, "You are a cultured man. Hospitality to an unexpected guest is the very basis of civilization, of culture. I am a guest at your house. Why did you not come and welcome me? Why you are hiding somewhere else?" Chankazi said, "Because you have millions of people with you and you look very angry." Then Chankazi said, "In this village of Navadvip, we're all a family. Nilambar Chakravarti, who was your maternal grandfather, we had a relationship where he was like my uncle and I was like his nephew. So that makes me your uncle and you're my nephew. And sometimes in family relationships, the uncle gets angry with the nephew and the nephew gets angry at the uncle. And even if the uncle makes some mistake, the nephew will not take it seriously. He forgives him. So, Nimai, please forgive me." From that point on, Gaur Hari addressed Chankazi as uncle. He said, "Yes, you are my uncle. But I have a question for you. I have two questions for you. Number one is, the cow gives us milk. So therefore, she's our mother. And the bull tills our fields. So he's our father. Why do you kill and eat your mother and father?" The Qazi was actually a great scholar of the Quran. He said, "According to the Holy Quran, there are two paths of religion. One is the path toward material prosperity, and one is the path toward detachment and liberation. According to the path of true detachment and liberation, the killing of the cow is not allowed. But those who are seeking the material path toward religion, for them it is accepted. So therefore, there's nothing against the scriptures. And besides that, in your Vedic scriptures, which I have also studied, I see there is cow sacrifices." Lord Chaitanya said, "No. In the Vedic scriptures, there were in previous ages, there wasn't the sacrifice of a cow. It was to show the effectiveness of a mantra.
You can take a very old, sickly cow, and through these mantras, the cow, right in front of everyone, as it's sacrificed, the cow takes a new form. Not killed, it's revived. The cow is revived to a younger, healthier form. But in the age of Kali, there is no such Brahman that has the power to chant the mantras with this potency. So therefore, in the age of Kali, these types of animal sacrifices are forbidden, especially cow sacrifice. But you should understand, if you're killing these sacred animals and you're not able to revive them and bring them back to life, then you have the karma of killing cows on your head. And so much suffering. Chankazi said, whatever you're saying is true. If we study the essence of all these great scriptures, what you're saying is true. There are so many compromises and so many misconceptions in the name of religion. Lord Chaitanya said, I have another question.
You outlawed the chanting of the names of
Lord Hari. And also, you stopped it. You beat people. You broke Murdanga. You plundered people. Why tonight you didn't try to stop us? Chankazi said, I sent some of my best men to go and stop. They're soldiers. As soon as they came near your kirtan, their beards lit on fire. It was burning their faces. So they came running back to me with burnt faces. They said, as soon as we came near the kirtan, look what happened. We don't know what these people are doing. And then other people I sent, when they saw the power of this kirtan, they immediately took off their turbans. They put their head down for their beards didn't show. And they started to dance. And others came to me and said, Kazi, this kirtan, how can we stop it? They're chanting Hari Hari. All they're doing is saying Hari Hari. And I don't know what's going to happen to our city. Everyone's saying Hari Hari. And Chankazi said, well, why are you saying Hari Hari? They said, because we can't stop saying Hari Hari. We don't want to say Hari Hari, but we keep saying Hari Hari. And whatever Hari Hari, we try to Hari Hari, we say Hari Hari. Then Chankazi told Lord Gaur Hari that I want to tell you a secret. Can we be alone? Mahaprabhu said, these are my confidential associates. Whatever you want to see, there is no secrets you can say before all of us. He said that night,
after I broke the murdanga and beat the devotees,
I had a dream. In the dream, I was terrified. Suddenly, there was this personality on my chest. He had the body of a man and the head of a lion. He He was the personification of anger. He was growling. His eyes were red. He looked in my eyes. His teeth were gigantic. And he screamed at me, roared at me, Kazi, because you have broke the mridanga of my Sankirtan, today I am going to rip you into pieces. His hands had the claws of a lion, and he dug into my chest and started ripping it open. He growled even more angry, because you have caused harm to my devotees, because you tried to stop the chanting of my holy names. I am going to destroy you. I was laying there helpless and trembling. And then that personality said, I will leave you alone today, but if ever you hurt my devotees or disturb my Sankirtan movement, I will be back. And then he disappeared. Lord, the Chankazi said to Lord Chaitanya, I can understand that you are the Lord Narayan of the Vedas. You are the Supreme Godhead. I surrender to you. Lord Chaitanya said, just give one promise, that you will never again interfere with the chanting of the holy names or disturb any of the devotees. Chankazi declared, I make a vow that myself and all my descendants will never interfere with the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya was so kind, so merciful to him, that Chankazi, love of Krishna awakened in his heart. Tears flowed from his eyes. He fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Not out of fear, out of love, out of true respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He embraced him. And then Lord Chaitanya went out to join the kirtan. Chankazi came to join the kirtan too. But Lord Chaitanya, understanding his position and being sensitive, he told him, please go back into your house. In this way, the Chankazi, he still practiced his same religion, his same faith. But now he understood. He understood that Lord Chaitanya, that Krishna was the same God that was the God of his faith. And now he had true, pure, ecstatic love for that God. Lord Chaitanya didn't convert. He enlightened in this case. And this is what he taught wherever he was. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, why have you come here? A journalist challenged. Srila Prabhupada said, I have not come to convert. I've come to enlighten. I've come to remind you what you have forgotten, that love for God is within the heart of all living beings, and the true essence of every great religion his unconditional, unmotivated love for the Supreme Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya led the kirtan with his most intimate associates to the little grass hut of Kolavecha Sridhar. By this time, it was morning. Lord Chaitanya saw, just outside the grass hut of Kolavecha Sridhar, was a very old, dented, damaged iron pot. Small pot. It was used for water. It was used for all cleaning purposes and everything else. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, this pot was so old and so damaged and so worthless materially that even the most desperate thief would never even cast his glance on it. It was just so worthless. Lord Chaitanya, with limitless eagerness, as the kirtan was being chanted, he approached the iron pot. With so much devotion, he lifted that pot, drank the water from it. When Sridhar saw this, he fell to the ground. He said, "Now I am dead." The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Krishna, who's appeared as Lord Gauranga, he's drinking the water that I wash myself with, that I drink with. When Lord Chaitanya drank that water, tears poured from his eyes. His heart exploded in the ecstasy of love. Devotees could not believe what they were seeing, the transformations on Lord Chaitanya's body upon drinking the water from this old dirty pot. And Mahaprabhu, from his heart, he said, "I speak this truth. Never before have I tasted the sweetness of love of Krishna as I am tasting today after drinking the water from Kolavecha Sridhar's pot. Today, for the first time, I'm truly experiencing the ecstasy of love for Krishna because I have taken the remnants of Sridhar." When the devotees heard this, Gadadhar, Nityananda, Murari, Suklambar, all these Vaishnavas, Srivas, they literally were rolling on the ground and crying, how the Lord loves his devotee. Sridhar wasn't educated. He wasn't famous. He had no followers. But he had love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya considered himself the humble servant of Kolavecha Sridhar. Lakshminath, Sripati, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the controller and proprietor of everything that exists, is begging for the mercy of his devotee and showing the whole world how he's subordinate to the love of a devotee, even the simplest devotee. This wonderful pastime, which we have summarized, of the first great
Harinam Sankirtan party. For the first time, millions of the people of Navadvip saw Lord Chaitanya dancing in ecstasy, Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha expressing her love. With such compassion, spreading it everywhere to everyone. During this most difficult time of persecution, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the most auspicious blessing to the world. It was the first kirtan party in public. Not only did he conquer the Chankasi, but he conquered the Chankasi's heart and made him a dear friend and loving associate. After this incredible, victorious pastime, it culminates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed, he demonstrated his supreme power. Within a moment, he attracted millions of people to come. And the culmination, that he's humbling himself before this simple little banana seller. And he's drinking the water from the simple water from his iron pot. And he's weeping and crying in ecstasy and telling everyone that he's a servant of the love of his devotee. These are pastimes that are eternally taking place right here where we are sitting in Sri Mayapur Dham. During our yatra, many of you have visited so many of these holy places. They are places where, through our prayers, through our surrender, through our humility, through our eagerness to serve, we can access the grace of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, like nowhere else in creation. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have these types of pilgrimages in these holy places. And he has created these wonderful centers where we could gather and where the world could also reap the highest fortune. Now, the yatra begins. We have tried to absorb ourselves and infuse each other with Srila Prabhupada, our acharyas, Panchatattva Radha Madhava's grace. With this infusion, charge our spiritual batteries. We go back to our temples, we go back to our towns, our villages, some of us our jobs. Wherever we may be, people have come from England, Italy, Australia, Portugal, Spain, Russia, Ukraine, America, South America, Africa, all parts of India. We're all gathered together here.
It's not that we come and then it's over. It's that we come and it begins. We have this wonderful association to fill ourselves with mercy, with grace, with faith through Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Satsang. Beautiful darshans and prayers. We come here to fill ourselves, to make relationships with each other that hopefully will last our whole lifetime and forever. And now we go back to wherever we're going with more faith, with more spiritual grace, with a deeper sense of satsang in the community of Srila Prabhupada's mission. The beauty of a yatra is we're more eager to read Prabhupada's books, we're more eager to chant our japa, we're more eager to be the servant of the servant to spread this wonderful mission. And the yatra continues in every day of our life. And how we learn to recognize how dear each devotee is to the Lord. And how we should treat each other. Thank you for coming to our Mayapur Yatra. Deeply grateful. We beg forgiveness any offenses that may have been due to inconveniences. But the Yatra committee of so many hundreds of devotees, they actually love to do this. At least, that's my interpretation. It's hard work. Do you know what it's like managing all the buses? And they get flat tires all the time. Managing the buses and managing the accommodations and managing the sound system in India and managing the pandals and cooking all this prasad every day. 6,000 people almost. Over 7,000 coming in the evenings, cooking wonderful feasts. And the devotees who are taking to the different holy places and giving the talks, it's a very wonderful, integrated cooperation that's required. The devotees just love to do it. As soon as this yatra ends, it happens every time. Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, Radhabala Prabhu, Radhakund Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, all these devotees, and many, many more, I'm sorry, I'm not saying everyone, they will all come to me immediately after the yatra, with great determination, with incredible sincerity, and with incredible eagerness. This is like tonight, after you all go to sleep, they will come to me and ask me, where will the yatra be next, Kartik? That's the mood of service. They're probably totally exhausted, but they're blissful. Where will it be next year? Because they have to start preparing now for next year. And usually my reply to them is, where would you like it to be? And then there's a little discussion. And we discuss with the congregation and the counselors and other people. And then it emerges. Krishna reveals to us where our yatra will be. I will end by quoting Srivas Thakur. When he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracting all the devotees and all the people to the path of pure bhakti, he cried out, "May our family increase." But you see, our family can't really increase qualitatively unless we really are striving to make each other happy. In the mood of a servant of the servant, to really try to make each other happy by our behavior with each other, by our forgiveness, by our kindness, to enthuse people, to go deeper and deeper into Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan and Hari Seva. Lord Chaitanya again and again proclaimed that I am always the servant of my devotees who serve me with love. And his great aspiration is to be a prisoner of the love in the heart of his devotee. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he gave us this treasure to live for. Thank you very much.